This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
You've probably seen the billboards or the TV ads warning motorists not to rush these holidays. The one that I regularly drive under on the M4 says something like late or crushed skull, choose wisely. Well, the second phase of this campaign has recently launched and it shows survivors of road trauma, their friends and family, and others who've been affected by speeding-related crashes. Professor Brian Aller is the Sydney neurosurgeon who features in the campaign and he joins me now just before he starts surgery. Hi, Professor Aller.
Morning, how are you?
How did you become involved in this Don't Rush campaign?
Well, the campaign started after I saw, had a particularly bad weekend of being on call at the Children's Hospital at Westmead and Westmead Hospital. And, we had unfortunately a number of deaths of children that weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes, as well as adults. And I thought afterwards, if people could see what I saw from the medical perspective and what my colleagues see, then they may actually think about what they do on the roads. The other thing that struck me was that people really are faced with choices on the roads, and a lot of these fatal accidents really originated because people made really split-second bad decisions, and they had devastating consequences.
I have to say, I drive under your billboard on the M4 every day, and the first time I drove under it, I really noticed it. Like, it did catch my attention. And the look on your face says, I don't want to see you in my theatre, all right, or something along those lines. You know, was there a degree of kind of acting in that for you, or was it really just thinking about those victims that you were able to kind of
do that? I'm not a very good actor, so when we were doing the commercials, I was just really asked to think about the patients that I see and the families, and to try and bring that across. And I think that's what a lot of people have said the same thing. You know, look, very serious in the advertisements, and it's a serious problem, and that's the serious nature of some of the choices that you make on the roads and some of the consequences.
So what kind of injuries do you see as a result of road accidents, and also what are the, I know you said that you've seen some children dying, which is absolutely dreadful. What kind of, I guess, injuries or accidents lead to that kind of situation?
Well, I mean, the sorts of injuries that I see, obviously, as a neurosurgeon, are their head injuries, and obviously they can result in death, but more often probably result in longer-term brain injury, which can have long-term consequences in terms of, intellectual function, but also just ability to walk, talk and look after themselves. And the recovery phase after those sorts of accidents for those victims is very, very prolonged, months and months in rehabilitation.
Yeah.
We also see the spinal injuries, so people that become quadriplegic or paraplegic after these sorts of accidents, and of course those things never get better.
No.
Them for the life.
And when you've operated on somebody who, I guess, doesn't make it or whose life is never going to be the same, does that stay with you?
Oh, I think it always does. I mean, we do have to separate ourselves sometimes from some of the things that we see. I mean, that's, I think, part of being professional and allowing you to do the job that you do, but it's only natural that you take a lot of this stuff on board, and that's why these ads have really originated, because although I see a lot of these sorts of injuries, and we all do, it was something about that weekend that really struck home. I think really it was seeing the parents of some of the victims, and just the grief and the palpable nature of the anguish that they were going through.
Do you have to actually tell them, look, I'm sorry that we couldn't do anything? Are you the person that has to give that news?
Sometimes it's me. Other times it's the emergency department people or intensivists or general surgeons. It really depends on the nature of the problem. And really at what stage, I guess, during the hospital journey people don't make it.
Because the ad looks at, the reason I'm asking you about that is because the ad sort of looks at the impacts, on other people who are affected by road trauma. It's not just the victim, but it includes other staff. So what impact does it have on paramedics and other medical staff, this kind of thing?
I mean, I always think that for me, seeing people come through the emergency department, in a way they've already been packaged up, they've come in often with a intubated and they've already done all of the things that they need to do. I think it must be horrendous for the people, the emergency workers, the paramedics, police, fire brigade, that have to actually attend the scene and try and get the patient to even to that stage.
Yeah, sure. And if it, a head injury occurs and things go quite well, you know, you operate, you're able to do, I guess, whatever it is that you need to do, can the brain heal itself? Like, how does the brain, can the brain heal itself after a serious head injury?
Well, the brain can to a degree, but it's not like other organs that can repair themselves and mm-hmm. function quite normally. It can sometimes be quite a minor thing to do with the brain that can have, you know, very devastating consequences. And other times, you know, you see quite a lot of bruising and things of the brain, and the patient does, you know, quite well. But, you know, essentially, you know, you've only got one brain.
Yeah.
We don't transplant them. You just got to, you know, look after it. Because once you have a brain injury, you know, the effects do stay with you for life.
Mm.
So what we see is that sometimes people have very bad brain injuries and it can go either way. You know, it's very difficult for us to predict.
I was wondering about that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I tell people this because sometimes the swelling gets worse. Despite all of the measures that we take, you know, the patient dies. Other times, you know, they can do quite well, sometimes be months in ICU and rehabilitation after that. And then, you know, you see them come back a year or two down the track and, you know, you just don't recognise them and they've done relatively well. But they'll still have, you know, consequences.
And you mentioned that you're at the Children's Hospital. Is that prognosis different for children to adults? I mean, are children kind of more vulnerable to this?
Yeah, I mean, the brain's very interesting in terms of being under 2 years of age. Generally, we talk about the plasticity of the brain, and that's the ability of the brain to adapt to an injury. So, you know, one side of the brain controls the other side of the body. So if one side of the brain is injured in a child under 2 years, often they can actually transfer a lot of those functions over to the good side of the brain, and that will actually take over. Now, once you start to get about over 2 years, that plasticity markedly decreases. And although children still have a much greater ability, I think, to adapt to an injury than adults, it certainly is significantly decreased.
Yeah, right. So before I let you go, I guess not many of us have a chance to sort of know what life is like for a neurosurgeon. So what's a typical day for you? Like, what? How many operations would you do and what kind of procedures would be the most common for you?
Oh, look, it varies tremendously. I think that's one of the things about being a neurosurgeon is that there is no typical day, essentially. Some days you're in consulting rooms, you know, seeing 20 to 30 patients come through the consulting rooms with all sorts of different problems, and then other times, you know, you're in the operating theatre. And look, it depends on the type of operations that we do. I mean, some operations can take, you know, 14 hours. Others, you know, take half an hour. So there's a great variety of the types of things that we can see and do. And I think, you know, that's one of the things about being a neurosurgeon. There's really not any dull moments.
But if you do a 14-hour operation, is that all you? You do that whole 14-hour procedure?
Look, sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a long time to be concentrating, yeah.
It is a long time. Sometimes we break it up. If it's going to be longer than that, we often have two surgeons that operate or we stage the operation. But, you know, some tumours, it sounds like a long time, and if I had to sit there, you know, in the one spot for 14 hours, you know, you'd go crazy. But actually, when you're doing it, it goes quite quickly.
Yeah, I guess it would be quite intense concentration.
Mm, that's right.
All right. So before I let you go then, what's the main message that you want people to really remember from this road safety campaign? What are you hoping the difference will be?
Well, I think we really need to think about our behaviours and the choices that we make when we're on the roads. I think there needs to be a fundamental shift in our attitude towards driving, towards speeding, towards risk-taking. So years ago it was restraints, then it was drink driving. Mm. Now it really has to be a shift in the social attitude towards things like speeding, overtaking unnecessarily. You know, and I want people to think about the choices that they make, to think twice before they push things, try and run that red light. You know, they just need to slow down and concentrate as much as possible, because it only takes a split second for the whole thing to go pear-shaped, and it can really have devastating consequences, not only for you, but for your family and for other people on the roads.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Professor Allen. I hope your surgery goes really well today.
Thanks, Katrina.
Yeah, that's Professor Brian Allen. He's a neurosurgeon with the Westmead Hospitals, and he features on the latest RTA road safety campaigns. You might have seen him on the billboards or in the commercials.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.